Volpe, Peraza, Peraza, Volpe, left side of the infield, left side of the infield, Volpe, Peraza, Peraza, Volpe.
And none of that is good.
It's all bad, I admit. I mean, the two miscues we saw in the fifth inning were horrendous, and for whatever reason, the Yankees shrink in big moments against division rivals. But the Yankees lost last night because they scored one frickin' run. Like, why did the Yankees lose last night? It's like a rhetorical question since I already told you my reason. They scored one run.
Right. It was all Giancarlo Stanton hitting another home run. But other than that, they didn't do anything.
They did nothing.
But it still can't mask the issue, especially defensively, increasingly defensively, of Anthony Volpe.
Yes. Anthony Volpe, yes. Oswald Peraza. Look, Oswald Peraza is not a Major League Baseball player right now because he's hitting 150.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. His defense this season, whether it's my eye test, whether it's defensive metrics, it's been fine. If Oswald Peraza was hitting 235, I could probably live with him being the everyday third baseman. The problem is no one can play every day when they're hitting 150. So we already know that about Oswald Peraza. And it sucked that he made an error last night. It does. It should have been a straight error instead of a hit and error. But whatever. Like, obviously, when you're that bad offensively, you need to be flawless defensively. And that was a huge error that tacked on yet another run. The Volpe issue is the fact that he's just not that good. That's the Volpe issue.
Yeah, but nobody wants to accept that. And especially Aaron Boone doesn't want to accept that. When you listen to him talk now about Anthony Volpe, it's less, I'm protecting him, and so I'm just being vague. And it's more like he's flat out making excuses.
You know what he is?
For Anthony Volpe.
He's Cochraning Anthony Volpe. He's Johnny Cochran. He is the defense lawyer for Anthony Volpe. You like that one?
Yeah, I didn't know where you were going for a second.
When you heard Cochran and you weren't sure what it was?
Yeah, I heard the thing that goes on your finger and the thing that, you know, hangs.
Do you not remember Johnny Cochran? He's like the most famous lawyer of all time.
Yes, but not how you said that.
Oh, I apologize. Oh, because I did the ing at the end?
Yeah.
I made it a verb?
Yes. And so the second part of his last name plus the ing kind of sounds like a ring. And, you know, there's certain rings that certain guys like to wear. And so that's what I thought you were saying.
I'd say I work with a bunch of dirty people. Because I didn't think that. I just thought Johnny Cochran ing because he's the defense lawyer for Anthony.
Now you can't not hear it, right, Tommy?
I can't get that vision out of my head now.
When I said it, what'd you think?
I didn't think that, and I'm the dirtiest mind on the show. But now that Tiki has let that out of Pandora's box, I'm never getting that out of my head.
But you like the analogy, right?
Oh, you're right. He's his defense lawyer.
Reese's
right
Penis
now.
Butter Cup.
He's the guy who has to protect Anthony Volpe. Because Anthony Volpe is talking as if it's not a big deal.
Right.
It's 12 errors. And I know 12 errors is, over the course of a full season, it's not a ton of errors, but it's 12 errors. And 2 years ago, you were a Gold Glove shortstop, and you're supposed to be on this heightened level and getting better, and it feels like you're getting worse.
Yeah.
And so I hear you, Aaron Boone. You have to defend your player. You always do. You never throw guys under the bus. But it's starting to sound like excuses, and that's when it starts to get frustrating for the listener.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. It is. I think Anthony Volpe is now proven 3 years into his major league career. He's just not that good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's an easy solution in this moment. Like sending him down, which the Mets did for Francisco Alvarez, and the early returns are really good.
Right.
Well, a part of the reason why the Mets were able to send Alvarez down is they had a guy in Luis Torrens who they said, you know what, we could play that guy for a month. And he's really good defensively, and he'll occasionally get a big hit, and we'll live without Alvarez. The Yankees don't have that.
No.
The Yankees' backup shortstop for Anthony Volpe is the other guy who screwed up last night in Oswald Peraza.
And he's hitting 150.
And he's hitting 150. So I think the Volpe issue isn't solvable right now. Like I would tell you today, hey, if the Yankees could go get an upgraded shortstop before the trade deadline, go do it. I don't think that guy exists. I don't think there are going to be a lot of great options. But during the offseason, it's a very different discussion because then there are more ways to improve yourself at shortstop. But they lost last night's game. While all the attention will be on that error and Peraza's error, they're already losing 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were going to lose.
Right.
Their offense did nothing. And so I thought of the debate we had yesterday. And for those that missed it, we were talking about the Yankees upgrading at third base, which we all agree they should do. I don't think that's the debate. But I was suggesting, wow, Suarez, even though he's not great defensively, even though he's mediocre defensively, he would provide such an upgrade offensively, and I would take an offense that's already good and make it even better, that's more appealing to me than just getting a glove. So Peraza makes the big error last night, and I could imagine that Tommy and your cohorts were like, see, Evan, this is why you need to improve your defense at third base. Is that correct that you thought that?
I did. I actually texted all my Yankee fan friends. I said, you know what? You should trade for Suarez. He can't play defense or run. He's a great fit here. But I think it strengthened what I said yesterday.
See, I don't think it does, and I'll tell you why. The Yankees lost last night scoring one run. One run. So as good as their offense has been all year, they still run into these days where they don't score.
Yeah, because you think back, how did they win the Atlanta series over the weekend?
They scored runs.
They scored runs, a ton of runs, and they needed to.
But if they trade for Suarez, let's just imagine we're in a universe in which Suarez is the third baseman last night, not Peraza. And he makes the same error, right? I'll give that to you. He makes the same miscue that Peraza made. Well, there's a possibility that Suarez runs into one and hits a three-run home run. There's no possibility with Oswald Peraza. And whether it's Nolan Arenado or Ryan McMahon, while they're upgrades over the 150 hitting Peraza, they're not exactly God's gift to offense.
Right.
So I think last night just backs up my point more that, the defense won't be better. It'll actually be worse. But you give yourself another weapon so that nights like last night, where you only get one run on five hits and you go 0 for 4 with runners in scoring position, like, there's a lesser chance that happens.
Right.
Because you got a bat.
Right. It's what we said yesterday. You're doubling down on what your strength is. You're making your strength a super strength, which is guys can potentially hit home runs and immediately get you back into ball games. And look, that's why Suarez, I think, is the most enticing from a Yankee standpoint. The other issue with it is that everybody's going to want Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, Mariners too.
Everybody is going to want that big bat that seemingly is available because you heard him at the All-Star game. He basically said, doors are open. Right. Come get me at some point. And so, yes, it'd be fantastic for the Yankees, but they got a lot of competition for Suarez. And that makes the solution that much more vague because who else is there that does that, that's available, that you can get? You can upgrade your defense, of course, but who else is going to give you that powerful bat?
Well, you can upgrade yourself at third base any which way. I mean, Ryan McMahon is an upgrade over Oswald Peraza.
Right.
Nolan Arenado at this point in his career is an upgrade over Oswald Peraza. Basically, everybody is an upgrade over Oswald Peraza. So I'm not even disagreeing that those guys wouldn't make you better. I'm just saying that when you add another big bat like Suarez, what happened last night to the Yankees, which I don't think is getting enough attention. I think all the attention is Volpe, 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 Peraza, left side of the infield. Because Susan was pissed last night. She had every right to be, ripping the left side of the infield. And Yankee fans were pissed last night, ripping the left side of the infield. And it makes you think of the World Series. And I get all that. I understand why you're frustrated. They scored one run. Like, let's just not ignore the lead. The lead is they scored one run. How often do you win baseball games when you score one run?
But it's just one game. So I think while you're right about the Blue Jays, and I guess because it's the Blue Jays and now you're four games back of the Blue Jays and you've lost every game to the Blue Jays, then the issue is the fact that you score one run, but it is also just one of 162. And the issue, which has been an issue all season long, is Anthony Volpe.
Yeah, but they're not changing that at the deadline.
Of course they're not.
They're not. Like, they're going to stick with Anthony Volpe.
But it doesn't mean you shouldn't talk about it.
Oh, no, we should.
It doesn't mean that Aaron Boone should not, I don't want to say be harder, because I'm sure he's hard enough, but be accountable for him. Don't defend him. Be accountable for him.
Well, I think here's the thing about shortstop. So the Yankees very quietly, because they don't want to hurt Anthony Volpe's feelings or his dad's feelings, the New York Yankees should look for an upgraded shortstop. I don't think that's crazy. Yeah. I don't think that's controversial. I think much like what David Stern said yesterday about the Mets, your ears are always open, you're always talking. If you're Brian Cashman and you can get an upgrade at shortstop, you should be listening. The problem is, I don't think there are a lot of available shortstops that are real upgrades. Like, I just don't think it's out there. So unfortunately, the Yankees are in this spot where, yeah, we could talk about it on WFAN and callers can call up and rip Anthony Volpe all day. There isn't an immediate solution. Like, the send him down crowd has to live with the fact that someone else has to play shortstop.
Right.
And right now, they don't have a good option.
Right.
Like, again, the Alvarez thing is interesting because the Mets did it, and in the early returns it worked. They sent Alvarez down. He has this incredible month. And at least for one day, he comes back last night. All is right with the world. So I get a Yankee fan looking at that saying, hey, wait a second. Why can't we do that to Volpe? You can do that to Volpe if you had a suitable other option.
Right.
Your other option is the guy you're playing at third base who's hitting 150. So if you sent Volpe down just to humble him or straighten him out or, you know, get him going, you'd be looking at a left side of the infield for a month of Yorbit Vivas and Oswald Peraza. Does anybody really want to go down that road?
No.
So
no.
I think that you're right. We can talk about Volpe all day. I just don't think there's a suitable answer.
Right.
Now, would my ears be open to talk to Minnesota about Carlos Correa if the Yankees are willing to absorb the 3 years?
That's just a big number.
I know it is, but right. Is he an upgrade?
Of course he is. He absolutely is. Ronnie Mauricio. That'd be an interesting
one. Oh, you want to do a little cross-town trade?
A cross-town trade.
Who are you giving me?
you can have Volpe.
Devin Williams?
You could take Volpe.
I don't want Volpe. I don't want him. But last night was one of those weird nights because it was a big game. And I take my L, by the way. I'll wear one right now, actually. I got the pinstriped L. Because I did come on the air yesterday confidently telling you the Yankees would sweep the Toronto Blue Jays. And one game and I'm wrong. So look at that.
Yes.
I'm putting the L around my neck.
We didn't even have to vote.
Didn't have to vote. Because I get it. I take my L on that. But where I'm also taking my L is I thought that that win was going to kind of catapult them, and it did for one day. And I thought things would change, especially against a division rival. And the reality was, Carlos Rodon battled. I thought he was better than his final line would tell you, even though he walked a million guys. But the offense did nothing. And yes, the ugly defense showed its head. And what's unfortunate is that it seems like whenever the Yankees play a division rival, whether it's the Blue Jays or it's the Red Sox, this is what happens.
Right.
They play like garbage against their division, and I don't know how to answer that.
Well, and the problem is with all the division games that you play and the ones that you have left, if it continues, what are they, 7 games under 500 right now in the division?
Mm-hmm.
If that continues, then forget winning the division, right? Forget, you know, having a bye. Forget, you know, trying to avoid the wild card that we're talking about. But at the end of the day, you just got to get better at these left side of the off of defense and for the Yankees defense. Otherwise, you're going to combat these same issues as you start playing better teams.
You also need to, like, the Yankees have the number one offense in the American League. We went over this yesterday.
What? It's just this. I get it, but it doesn't mean anything.
What do you mean it doesn't mean anything? They score more runs than any other team in the American League.
Right, except when they don't.
Well, that was the problem. They're very streaky.
Yes.
They're a streaky offense, so there are nights like last night where against Kevin Gausman, who they saw for the third time this season, it was the best we've seen of Kevin Gausman. They couldn't hit him.
Well, Kevin Gausman saw them for the third time this season.
That's true. You can look at it that way.
That's exactly how you have to look at it.
You can look at it that way. But the Yankee offense can sometimes disappear, which is why I'm not against adding another big bat. Mm. When we say they don't need another big bat, because those were the words I think Tommy used yesterday, they don't need one. Last night's the reason where you say, of course you can always use another bat.
Yeah, but what...
You never have too much.
No, but I think you're cherry-picking here, because when we look at the Yankees and their biggest flaw, it's always fundamentals, base running, defense. Yes, they have nights where they don't score, they don't bully a team around, but I think Suarez is the same type of thing where he's a bully hitter. I know he hits a little bit in the clutch, but he just adds to your strength, but they're still going to have issues, base running, defense, bullpen. Those are the bigger issues.
But you know what? Here's where we're going to fundamentally disagree, and Yankee fans can tell me if I'm wrong, you're wrong, wherever they stand. Not just last year, because I know last year jumps out at you for the defense in Game 5 of the World Series. When the Yankees get eliminated from the postseason every year, which is what's happened every year that they've made it since 2009, their biggest bugaboo is what?
It's lack.
In general, what is it?
Lack of hitting.
Yes.
In the bigger spots, okay, though. They hit throughout the season, though.
I got it, but stop right there.
But it's just the postseason. The same thing rears its head over and over again.
Not scoring runs.
Yes.
So if you add another bat, you call him a bully. I say he's hit 35 home runs this year. Whether he's bullying them or not, he's still a productive offensive player. If you add another really good offensive player, wouldn't you agree that the chances of your season ending due to inept offense, doesn't it go down a little bit because you just added another better bat?
Not really, because I look at a guy that strikes out 200 times, and when you get to October and you face better pitching, they're going to strike that guy out, and he's not going to hit 30-something home runs. He's hitting 30-something home runs because he's facing middle relief pitchers or bad starting pitching. All or nothing hitters I just don't like in those spots. They already have enough of them. If there was a lack of them and they needed power, I understand it. Plus, he doesn't play defense. Plus, he's not a good base runner. All his deficiencies are the things that the Yankees need help on. So why would you add to your already problems to strengthen something that you're good at, which is hitting home runs?
They scored one run last night. There are still nights where the offense doesn't perform. And the main reason they lost last night, the main reason the Yankees lost to the Toronto Blue Jays was they scored one run. That's the main reason. We could sit here all day talking about Rodon's walks. We could talk about the defense in the fifth inning. I get it. I'm not defending it. I get it. They lost the game because they had five hits and one run. You're not winning games when you score one run.
Or, and it might be a little premature for this, is it possible the Blue Jays are the new Astros? They don't look like they're afraid of the Yankees, Teak. I mean, they don't look scared at all. They look like they get up for it.
Yeah, but they're going to have to accomplish something before I say that, before I can concur. Because right now, they own the Yankees. This season, 2025 season, they own the Yankees. But until they go to the postseason, get to the ALCS, get to a World Series, perhaps even win one, I can't say they're in love with the Astros. It was interesting because Volpe said something about comparing the Yankees to their opponents or something like that. They really compare themselves to themselves.
Right.
And as I know he's trying to be profound and say something that sounds, I don't know, introspective and we're focused on us. But the reality is your opponents are better than you in the division.
Right.
And so you better start comparing yourself
to
those
guys. You got
to
beat your opponents.
Right. If you beat them consistently, that's a hell yeah, Anthony Volpe. Forget them. We're just worried about ourselves. But you can't beat them. They can't beat the Blue Jays. Period.
Right now they can't. But think about it. We're talking about a five-game sample size because remember, they beat them earlier this season.
True.
Won 2 out of 3 at Yankee Stadium. And before that, most Yankee fans looked at the Blue Jays and viewed them as this, they're fugazi.
Yeah.
They're not as good as they think they are and the talent that they have. I think there's a lot left to discover about the Toronto Blue Jays. I was high on the Blue Jays. You guys know that. I think I'd pick them to not win the division. I picked the Yankees to win the division, but be the number one contender. So I believe in the Blue Jays.
Of course, but...
But they still have a lot to prove.
Yeah, but they're solid.
You know what I mean?
They're solid.
I know they are.
I mean, the top five of their lineup, they're all hitting over 270.
And they have a good rotation.
Of course they do.
Like, the Blue Jays are a solid team. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But the Yankees should not be wilting at their division rivals. And for whatever reason, that's been the case.
Right.
And I'd like to show you some examples of that from last night. Now, obviously, we know the deal with Volpe. He's had a terrible season. He did have that big Saturday, the DVD win against Atlanta, where he had 2 home runs, including the game tire. I thought, this is it for Volpe.
Oh, you give him his flowers when he deserves them.
Yeah. And I thought it was going to, like, turn his season around. Hasn't really done that. But his defense has clearly gone backwards. So that's the topic of conversation in the postgame, especially the error that he made to cap off that horrific fifth inning that pretty much sealed it for the Toronto Blue Jays. So, Aaron Boone, why does Anthony Volpe suck defensively?
Yeah, I mean, it's a few too many. That said, you know, errors get handed out a lot of different places in a lot of different ways. So I'm not so worried about it. It's making plays. He's still making a lot of plays, but he hasn't been as consistent as, you know, he wants to be and as consistent as he normally is. So there's a few balls he's left on the table, you know, one tonight included. And those are plays, you know, he expects to make and we need him to make too.
Here's what he did that's so bad but kind of funny. He did rip Anthony Volpe. Like, at the end, he's like, hey, he left a few plays out there, should have made that play. But he actually started off by claiming, well, the official scoring sometimes. Very unfair. So let's not go crazy about the errors. Aaron, come back to me, bro.
Yeah, that error was clearly an error.
And also, official scoring drives me nuts. As a geek who scores game,
yeah, you said this earlier.
But most of the time, it's the other way. They're giving guys hits when they should be errors.
So explain to me the hit error. Hit and an error?
Oh, so this happened to Peraza.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. So in the Peraza play, it was a ground ball to third base. He made the bad throw. It was a wild throw.
Range to his left. He got it. Made a bad throw left of first base.
So they called it a base hit. And the error was allowing the runner to go to second and the other runner to score. So Peraza was given an error. Don't worry. But they didn't give him the error for the guy beating the play out. They gave him a hit, which quite frankly is horse manure. Like, it's a straight-up error. Now, that's a clerical thing. It's not a big deal. But when Aaron Boone brings up, see, here's what annoys me. He thinks you're all stupid. No, he does. He thinks you're all dumb. He doesn't realize that there's a lot of geeks out there who pay attention to scoring decisions who aren't going to fall for this crap.
So if you were doing it, how would you have scored that?
Oh, that's a straight error.
Straight
the Peraza
eight.
Play?
Huh.
But that's the thing. He brings up other Volpe errors like, well, you know, sometimes in certain ballparks. Dude. Are you telling me the official scores are the reason why Anthony Volpe has 100 errors this year?
12, to be exact.
12?
But close.
That's BS. So even though he criticized him, he included so much Cochraning in it that it's like you get distracted by everything else. But Aaron, I got another question for you. but he still stinks defensively. What's up with that?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a few extra errors. Like, I mean, that's, I get it. That's the separator of when he wins a Gold Glove and when he's not. He's still a top shortstop. He hasn't made a few plays that have generated a lot of noise.
So now he's telling us it's only a few, and it's noisy.
Right,
it's us.
But that's why he might not win the Gold Glove this year. I'm just telling you now the reason he's not winning a Gold Glove, because he's still a great shortstop.
Right.
Is that he's had a few too many errors. That's basically what he just said.
Oh, can I ask Aaron a follow-up?
Yes, please do.
Hey, Aaron, as the geek around here, I was looking at some of the advanced numbers, and the advanced numbers also agree that Anthony Volpe sucks. Your thoughts?
Because he hasn't made three or four plays.
Oh.
That crushes you a little bit.
Oh.
He's still making a lot of rangy plays. He's still making a lot of plays. He just hasn't been as consistent as he has in his first 2 years, and that's three or four plays we're talking about. In a couple games here, he hasn't completed some plays, and it's changed his overall defensive season.
Come on. No, because it's...
Come on.
All right, so this is when, because we were listening to this earlier, and this is where I started saying Aaron Boone is making excuses. Right? He's trying to smooth over this rocky field that Anthony Volpe is walking through right now with the fans, but really just with the natural, the regular MLB perception of him. Because he can say all those things and how it affects the numbers, but the eye test is telling you Anthony Volpe is not the same defensive player he was. It was kind of similar to Francisco Lindor earlier in the season. Remember, Francisco Lindor never made errors. There was like four or five games where he made bad errors earlier in the season. It was like, what the hell's going on with Francisco Lindor? Now we haven't seen it.
Well, he made one last night.
True, he did.
Pick on him a little bit.
But he's passing the eye test.
Yes.
Volpe's not passing the eye test. And so I hear you, Aaron Boone, but you're telling me my eyes are lying to me.
So here's my question to you. We all know Anthony Volpe has been terrible this season. And this is not a debate. Like, we all know he's had an awful year. His defense has gone backwards. His offense hasn't gotten better enough. If you're in that locker room, you're Tiki Barber.
Yep.
You're a teammate of his. Don't you want the manager to just call it like it?
I actually would want Aaron Boone to not be as verbose, but be very short. Yeah, he needs to play better. That's it.
Just leave it at that.
Just leave
Don't
it
Don't get that. Too into
Don't
the weeds on this.
Don't start getting in the weeds, giving me excuses, which we all know is bunk.
Yeah.
So it that's when it gets frustrating.
Yeah.
Because he won't do that for everybody else. He'll just say, you know what, whoever. I'm trying to think of who it would be. Goldschmidt needs to play better at first base. That's how he would leave it.
Right.
And so the fact that he's digging and defending Anthony Volpe so vigorously... It's frustrating because we know it's not true.
My theory on why he does that is because I think he believes Anthony Volpe is very sensitive. And I think he believes he needs to do that to continue to try to get the best out of him. That's my theory.
Yeah, but that doesn't solve the problem.
No, and I'm not even telling you it's a good answer.
You're a professional athlete and for playing for the Yankees, and you're in your third year. Tough love is what you need.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what Yankee fans want to hear.
Right,
last
not coddling.
Last night, despite the fact that they lost the game because they only scored one run, the talking point from the Yankee fan last night was left side of the infield. The defense thinks right. Volpe's gone backwards. They need to get a third baseman. And so the last thing you want to hear from the press secretary of the New York Yankees, and that's what you are when you're the manager, you're the press secretary. By the way, it's not completely his fault. Volpe's his only option at shortstop. Brian Cashman could have signed Corey Seager 3 years ago.
Right.
He could have traded or signed Carlos Correa. Like, Cashman could have done something, but he doesn't meet the media every day. Aaron Boone does. And so I think the Yankee fan, after a loss like that, doesn't want to hear the Johnny Cochraning of Anthony Volpe on a nightly basis. Let's get to your phone calls. 888-808-1019. Gabe is in Wayne, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Gabe.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome back, Ev. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
Want to talk about Suarez, but you know, first with Volpe. Volpe needs to be the worst hitter on the Yankees team. He's currently not. And that's the real problem with this roster. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny.
Yeah, but that's a good point, Gabe.
If he was the worst hitter on this team, it would be a lot better right now in terms of the streakiness. And that's where you get a guy like Suarez. This is where it comes into conversation. Suarez is incredible with runners in scoring position and in high and medium leverage situations where every other Yankee falls short currently. All right. So at the end of the day, you need a guy like Suarez on this lineup. To your point, Evan, the problem in the playoffs is not the pitching. It's the hits. It's the runs. They score way less runs per game in wins in the postseason than they do in the regular season. Now, look, the pitching gets improved. All that kind of stuff makes right. total sense. The problem with the Yankees, though, is not just Suarez, not just filling that hole at third base. They need a lot more help than just that. I think that you need to go out there and you need to make, you know, a trade for a guy like Suarez, but also add Kelly. And you still need a high leverage relief pitcher. And that's just way too much for the Yankees to do right now. So I don't know if they have the pieces or are willing to part with the pieces necessary to make all those acquisitions. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's offense. And it's been streaky.
Well, and Oswald Peraza, and this shouldn't be forgotten in this because he made a miscue last night. His defense has been very good.
Yeah.
Like, if you're so concerned about defense, then Oswald Peraza has been fine. The problem is 150. The problem is 450 OPS. Like, that's not playable.
No, that's not professional. You're right.
So you need to get more out of third base than that. You just need more. So that's why even a Ryan McMahon or an Nolan Arenado, not my first choices, would be significant upgrades, because 150, 450 OPS is unplayable. And I totally get his point. Like, if the Yankees ran out of lineup every day where the weak link was simply Anthony Volpe, it'd be a little bit easier to live with it. But he's one of two weak links offensively. And then the other thing is, if you're going to be the weak link offensively, you got to defend at a high level. And Peraza has. I'd argue that despite the error last night, he has. Volpe hasn't. And it's a tough one to explain. Like, there's no reason for a guy to go backwards defensively when they're 24 years old. That doesn't make any sense,
right.
actually.
And so this tells you that it's in his head, that this has become a mental thing for Anthony Volpe.
Which is why I think right. Aaron Boone is so sweet to him yeah, publicly.
Kind of sucks, actually.
I don't know if that gets you out of it. I think sometimes you need to be, I don't want to say slap, but you don't want to do that, but smack back in the focus.
Right.
Right? You need to be really heightened awareness as opposed to just relax. You'll be fine. Because when that happens, you tend to just relax.
Well, you know what would have been better off for Volpe? And I say it now knowing it's not an option, would have been to have sent him down. Like,
yeah, but
yes.
That's not doable, though.
Well, it's not doable now because they don't have anybody.
Right.
Like,
but have they ever had anybody?
Well, could they have done it in his rookie season?
Oh,
sure.
You're talking about a couple years ago.
Well, no, even now they could have done it. They just don't have any other options. If the roster was built in a different way where they had somebody who could at least... You know how they could have done it? Honestly, I'll give you an answer. Let's go back to spring training and Nolan Arenado. Let's say they traded for him.
You wanted to be right. You wanted your brain to be right.
But let's say my brain was right and they got Nolan Arenado. And he's, you know, okay, he's fine offensively, not what he used to be, but he's giving you gold glove defense. They would have been in a better position to send Volpe down and just let Peraza play.
Yeah, because you could deal with his bad batting average as long as you have a veteran in Arenado playing third.
Right, because you're asking Peraza to play third base every day as it is.
Yeah.
So I think if they had addressed the third base issue during the offseason, whether it was Arenado or somebody else, then I think they would have been more capable of sending Volpe down to kind of fix him. Because guys do get sent down early in their careers.
But we also are forgetting the Cabrera injury is what really put them in a bind.
That hurt too.
That was the biggest one.
That hurt too.
Now you don't have an option.
You're right.
You want to bring up one of the kids.
Well, but nobody's ready.
Exactly.
George Lombard Jr. is not ready.
Right.
Cliff is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Cliff?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Yo.
I had a comment about Suarez. I think that if you add another similar bat to everyone in the lineup, you're just going to have similar results when you face better pitching. I think you need a guy who's going to put the ball in play, going to make the put some pressure on the defense. You know, I don't know if a Luis Arraez is available or someone like that, or if he could play third, but I think if you just bring on more similar bats, you're going to have a similar result.
I got to tell you, bro, I disagree with you. And it's the same thing Tommy said. Like, Eugenio Suarez leads the National League in home runs. He leads the National League in RBIs. He's a 933 OPS. I get he strikes out a lot. Of course, I got it. Mm-hmm. I understand that. That's the negative. He's hit more home runs than anybody else in the National League. And you guys think, well, let's just get a Punch and Judy hitter. That's a better option because you know what? They strike out a lot. If you hit the ball over the fence, that's a good thing. Like, what's wrong with you people?
But when you think back to...
You're their spokesman, so
I am, and the team I'm going to bring up, you're going to yell at me, but I don't care. I'm going to bring it up again. The Dodgers beat you because of the bottom of that order. When you look back to the hitters that killed them in that series, it's Tommy Edmond. It's Kike Hernandez. Yes, Ohtani matters. Yes, Betts matters. Yes, Freeman matters. I don't even put Teoscar Hernandez necessarily in that category, too. A Will Smith. The Yankees don't have that. They already have the top-heavy power hitters. Stanton, you know, is going to go on a heater in October. They have the King, Aaron Judge. They have Bellinger. They have enough thunder in the lineup. They need gamers, grinders, ball players, whatever you want to call it.
They need better players. He's a better player.
He's obviously the best option at third base in terms of talent. I just don't think he's the best fit for the Yankees.
Hitting balls over the fence is a good fix. It's a good fit for anybody.
If he hits 250 and comes to the Yankees now and hits 25 home runs till the end of the season, Yankee fans will be ecstatic. And you get to the postseason, and it gets harder, obviously, as Gabe was just saying, because of the pitching being better. But you still trust him. I would trust him. I don't trust any of these guys right now.
Paul is calling from Queens. What's up, Paul?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
I got a quick Anthony Volpe, just because that's what the hot topic is right now. I never seen somebody go from a rookie Gold Glover to looking like he doesn't feel comfortable at his own position.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. I mind boggling. But my main point is this: the Blue Jays and Yankee thing. It's like a premature. It's looking like the beginning of the Yankees Astros rivalry. Like we can't we can't beat them, and like. It's like they play every game against us like it's the playoffs. And if we don't if we don't nip that in the bud and win these next two games or win this series, well, yeah, that's redundant. But
right. I'm going to tell you why I disagree with this. And Tommy's brought it up. You brought it up now. It's like, this is the new Yankees Astros thing. I have a long memory, as you guys know. I write stuff down. Mm. I remember what's said around here. Now, I didn't write this down, but I remember this really well. I remember the morning guy saying this. I remember Tommy saying this. I remember even thinking it slightly as well. 2 years ago, the Orioles are the new Astros.
That's true.
You guys remember that?
I do.
They couldn't beat the Orioles, and it's like, they're the new Astros. The Astros are so the boogeymen to the Yankees that any time they struggle against one particular team, even if it's a sample size of literally five games, they're the Astros.
And this is just this year.
Right.
They haven't struggled with them historically. They're not the new Astros. When they start playing in games and series that really mean something, in the postseason perhaps, and they're just stymied by them, then maybe we can have that conversation. That is not a conversation for right now regarding these Yankees.
I think we are just being very, sensitive to the fact that the Blue Jays have won. Now it's five consecutive games against the Yankees. Mm-hmm. But they're not the new Astros. And any time a team beats the Yankees a bunch of times, it's like, the Astros. The Orioles were the new Astros. You remember saying that too, Tommy, right?
I do, but maybe perhaps the Blue Jays are the new Orioles and the Orioles were the new Astros, so they're like a distant third cousin. But the way in which the Blue Jays are beating the Yankees, to me, is interesting. Like, there's just a level of confidence. There's just a level of swagger that I used to see with the Astros. And I think the Orioles had it. They've just taken a step backwards because, frankly, they couldn't pay for a lot. They couldn't bring Burns back. They couldn't bring Santander back. And their younger players just haven't progressed the way you wanted it to. But I still think the Orioles are a tough team for the Yankees.
Jim is in Tennessee. Hey, Jim.
Hey, the Blue Jays are doing exactly what the Dodgers did to the Yankees in the World Series. Just put the ball in play. Hey, Evan. Yeah. Evan, I got a couple things for you.
Yes.
I'm on the Tommy train. I believe that we don't need Suarez because he's another swing and miss guy. How many solo home runs have the Yankees hit this year?
A lot.
You got Ben Rice, you got Wells, you've got Grisham, you got even Bellinger, even Judge for that matter. But just, you're a numbers guy, so I know you'll do the investigation on this. What's their overall on-base percentage?
For
as opposed to every other team,
the Yankees,
the top tier teams.
Like, where do the Yankees rank in on base percentage compared to everybody else? Is that your question?
That number one,
okay.
And then number two, how many of their league leading bombs have been solo shots?
All right, let me answer your question. Number one, the Yankees have the highest on base percentage in the American League. They're number one, And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. They're number one in just about every offensive category in the American League. You want to know why? Because they got the best offense in the American League. They do. They've hit more home runs than anybody in the American League. They have the highest on base. They have the highest OPS. They have the highest OPS plus.
Right. Like, they have the highest OPS in baseball.
Yes. Do they? Is ahead of the Dodgers?
Yes.
Okay. I believe you.
The Diamondbacks are interestingly ahead of the Dodgers.
Yeah, Diamondbacks have a very good offense. I mean, Eugenio Suarez has hit more home runs than anybody else in the NL.
Right.
The Yankees have a very good offense. But let's frame the third base discussion this way. Right now, when you look at realistic third base options at the trade deadline, and if you want to throw more names at me, absolutely, it's fair game. The names that are most common are Ryan McMahon,
yep,
Nolan Arenado, and Eugenio Suarez.
And Key Brian Hayes, I think, is another name to throw in there.
Great. Throw Key Brian Hayes in there. Okay. Those three guys, specifically McMahon, Arenado, and Hayes, they're really good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Be the first to tell you. Do you think, though, that they make the Yankees better than acquiring Suarez? Because Suarez's offense is so much better than those three guys that even though those three guys are better defensively, no argument. Do you really think that Cabrian Hayes in his 590 OPS? Yeah,
but this is why it gets hard, because you can look at the offensive metrics. You can look at OPS and on-base percentage and average and home runs, all doubles, etc., walks, and you can say, all right, I can see how that makes you better.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go look at the defensive metrics, like the defensive run save that Aaron Boone decided to bring up for Anthony Volpe, which, by the way, tell a better story than the eye test that we've been talking about with Volpe, interestingly enough. But you can't tell how that wins or loses a game. You could tell how guy hits 30 home runs. That's how you win games. Guy gets on base and gets himself in scoring position. That's how you win games. The defensive side is not as clear. It's not as clear-cut as it is when you see the offensive production that someone like Suarez can give you.
That's what makes this question difficult, but yet very easy. I'm going to ask it again because you got to answer it. Do you think, and let's use Nolan Arenado, 244, 690 OPS, 10 home runs, 42 RBIs. A lot better than Peraza, but not good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone would look at those numbers and say good.
Right.
Do you think those offensive numbers with amazing defense at third base, he's still great at third base, do you think that makes the Yankees better than adding Suarez, who leads the National League in home runs, has an 880 OPS, whatever it is, and yeah, his defense is pretty average, but you'll probably replace him late in games for defense. Which makes the Yankees better, in your guys' opinions? Be honest.
I mean, honestly, I think it's Arenado.
Really?
Yeah.
You think
because he's a veteran, he's trustworthy. Even if he's not smashing 50 home runs like Suarez, you trust him in a critical moment to be a professional, to be a pro baseball player, and not someone who's gonna, I don't know, be seeking glory. It doesn't matter. He already has it, right? He's got the big contract. He's got the reputation. He's 34 years old. He at this point just wants to win. He's gonna be a pro. And in certain stages of seasons, and we're talking now specifically, I think the postseason, you want the guy who's gonna be a pro.
I know, but we're talking about like a 300 point difference in OPS. I mean, that is not, it's not like they're reasonably close.
Yeah, but Judge goes into the postseason with 1,100 OPS every year.
So what does that mean? Don't get good offensive players because they may struggle in October?
They could.
Okay, so that's a good point. Defense doesn't go in slumps. Offense does. I agree. But do you really still think, I guess you do, that Nolan Arenado, at the state of what he is right now as an offensive player, which is still an upgrade over Peraza, but not great, you think that improves the Yankees more significantly than the offensive Suarez?
I think there's an intangible, not including the defense, that makes him a better option.
Wow. I disagree. I assume you're just going to agree with him, right?
No, I totally agree with Tiki. Whether it's Arenado, Hayes, or McMahon, and you said it, you took the words right out of my mouth, defense doesn't slump. Suarez could slump come October.
Mm-hmm.
You know this, he can't learn how to field in the next 3 months, where an Arenado, who has put up big numbers in his career, could get hot, could hit. Hayes, who I know he's like, 28? He was at one point a big-time prospect.
Right. I know, but he's got a 5'8 OPS,
He's
not good.
He's not hit. I understand that. He has not hit throughout his career. McMahon has. Now, he has played in Colorado. But I feel like with those three guys, defensively, they're both, all three of them, I think, are elite. Hayes has won a gold glove. Arenado's as good as it gets at third base. McMahon, same thing. I trust that their defense will be there and they could get me some timely hits or they could get hot, where Suarez, if he's not hitting, he's not helping you. He does nothing else to help the team win.
I know, but it's so much better offensively. That's where I disagree with you. But all right, you guys gave the answer. You guys think that Ryan McMahon, Nolan Arenado, who are clearly better defensive players, I'm not going to argue that, would make the Yankees more significantly better, if that's even worded correctly, than an incredibly good offensive player like Suarez. We'll get back to calls coming up, 888-808-1019. And David Stearns met the media yesterday. A lot of attention is being made or being paid to what he said about trades, but it was something else that he said that should cause Tiki Barber to be deeply, 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 deeply offended. And no one picked up on it. I heard it, and I cringed. We'll let you listen to the major faux pas that David Stearns made yesterday at his press conference.